Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. So glad you're joining me today because I have certified financial planner Jim T. Walt joining me today. He has over 30 years experience in the financial advising industry, and he's the owner of EPS Wealth Management. And we're going to be talking about some mainstream headlines that have been hitting the news circuit, talking about 8 saving habits that will make you rich. And we get his perspective being a certified financial planner, if those 8 saving tips will make us rich, or stuff that talks about 6 smart money moves before the Fed cuts the rates. Are they really that smart? We're gonna get his take on that, because if the Feds do cut the rates, where should we be putting our money? And that's all on today's show. So I hope you'll like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is go to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can do. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theamermayshow.locals.com. I would really appreciate any financial support you have on the program. You know, we always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May. I'm on Clout Hub. And you can also find me on X at DJ Amber May. Now, I wanted to let you know that Mike Lindell has an amazing $25 extravaganza sale going on right now. When you go to mypillow.com/amber, you can save money on a 6-piece towel set for $25. You can't even get that at Walmart. There's the MyPillow pillows, $25. They have all kinds of sales going on right now for $25. And when you use my name, Amber, at checkout, not only are you going to get those savings right into your shopping cart, you're also going to save on free shipping. So get some $25 deals right now and free shipping when you go to mypillow.com, promo code Amber at checkout. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to have Jim T. Walt back on the program. Like I told you, I have Jim T. Walt, our certified financial planner, joining us today. And I am excited to get on to the topics because we're going to hit a lot of things that are hitting just regular everyday people. And I can't wait to get your insight on it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate it. My voice is a little off today, but it's springtime in Arizona and the citrus trees just kicked my behind me.
Yes, we've had so much rain. Thank the Lord we needed it. And everything's blooming like crazy. And everyone around here is affected one way or the other. So I'm just glad that you could still make it on the program today, because I always love to get some financial wisdom to my audience. And I want to start out with some news articles, because some of the things that we're talking about today are affecting just everyday regular Americans. Can you see this article that says 8 saving habits that will make you rich?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you're in the financial planning world, and I just thought this would be perfect to get your insight if these 8 saving habits will make us rich. So the article comes from the New York Post, and it says most people think you need almost $500,000 to feel rich. How, if I had that, I would feel very rich. If you feel along a way off from that number, you're not alone. Most Americans struggle to save, according to a recent Bankrate survey. The good news is that building wealth is possible for most people through steady savings and investment over time. And if you want to spend less time stressing about your balances and more time celebrating your wins, it says, check out these powerful saving tips that anyone can try. So saving tip number 1, pay yourself first. The cardinal rule of saving used by rich people is pay yourself first. They automatically route part of their income into their savings and investment before paying bills. It comes straight off the top. Number 2, and I'm just summarizing this, so if anyone wants to go back, you can go to the New York Post and read this article. Start as early as possible. I would think this is probably a good idea. If your expenses are eating up your monthly paycheck, meaning you have more month than paycheck at the end of the month, you may not feel like you have much room to save, or you may wonder how much a difference of a $5 or $10 contribution to a savings account will make anyways. The big answer, according to the article, is a big one. Savings is all about establishing a habit, says Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate. When you're just starting out, it's not so much about how much you're putting away, but more the fact that you're getting into the routine of setting money aside. For example, let's say you contribute $100 a month starting at age 25, assuming the rate of return is 8%. Okay. You'd have around 95 to 100 saved by age 50. Now, you know, if you're saving in a savings account, there's no way you're getting an 8% return. But we'll move on to number three out of the eight saving habits that will make you rich, because I want to be rich. I'm sure you do too, Jim, and our audience wants to be rich. Automate everything, they say. To ensure consistent savings, take the effort out of automating it. Set up automatic transfers from your checking account or paycheck so money goes directly to the savings without thinking about it. Automation makes saving effortless and removes the temptation to skip or get around to savings. Number four, spend selectively. Spending less than you earn is a key habit when saving and investing, and you can put express cash flow into your savings and investment, helping you grow your wealth over time. And as you get older, you'll be making more money, which can come with temptation to spend more. If you overspend as your income rises, you may fall into a lifestyle inflation trap. There's nothing wrong with rewarding yourself occasionally for your hard work, says McBride. It shouldn't be all work and no play. However, if your goal is to build wealth, it has to be done in moderation. Number five, avoid debt and interest. Speaking of debt, being wealthy means steering clear of what as much as possible. Savvy savers minimize debt and interest payments, which can erode savings. Wealthy people use credit for larger purchases and pay it off quickly to avoid wasting money on interest fees. They opt for premium credit cards that offer luxury perks and discounts. Carrying debt, especially high interest credit and credit card debt, can keep you from saving and limit your options in the future. And then it says, number six, protect your money. Layoffs, stock market corrections, unexpected medical expenses. Wealth takes a discipline to grow, but smart saving also protects it from disappearing. So you need a solid emergency fund. And then number seven says, understand your why. In conversations with clients, Pepper says he focuses on their money wise, specifically, why is it important to save? What are you saving for? And what is the plan to smartly spend the money in the future? And number eight, make a savings a habit is number eight. Getting rich doesn't happen overnight. Consistently over the years, decades matter most. To make something a habit, attach it to an established routine until it becomes automatic. So based on those eight tips of becoming rich, what do you think as our certified financial planner?
Well, as a certified financial planner, I would be probably in agreement with all of those as a Christ follower. And I will say this, there was a time in my life when I went to church. I went to a mainline denominational church. I had no relationship with God. I think God maybe had a relationship with me, but I did not understand all of the promises that were available to people who put God first in their life. So the number one thing on there, pay yourself first, is the first thing that I'm going to object to if you are a Christ follower.
Okay.
Because the Bible's pretty clear to, you can tithe or you can give. I don't want to get into the tithing versus giving argument. We don't have time for that one this morning. But basically, we give not because God needs the money. He's got much more than we'll ever have. But what he wants is our heart. And since our hearts are pretty much linked to our wallets, If we can give, if God can give us in the position where we can trust him and give, that's what he wants. So, and when we do that, he's got some great financial promises that he makes to us. So I would say start with the first one. Don't pay yourself first. If you're a believer, do some giving, whether it's at your local church, whether it's to missions, missionaries. You know, talk to the Lord and ask him where to give. Now, if you don't know God, he knows you. He made you. Whether you believe that or not, that's up to you, of course. But I will say after 40-some years walking in faith, and I know that this can get the person in big trouble. If you don't believe in God, and if you don't believe God, I can say you're an idiot. I won't do that. I will just say that you're tragically misinformed and you are missing out on one of the best deals going. So hopefully you'll make some changes in that area. I'm going to encourage you to do that. So, and then let's go to the other one. Start as early as possible. That's the no doubt, I guess. The longer you save, the better it is. Automate everything. I might question that one, that only from the standpoint that if you automate everything, sometimes you forget to start checking things. If you automate your utility bills, for example, they like to increase prices from time to time. And if you don't check what's going on, you could be paying a lot more money and not really know that that's going on. So automate is good, but looking at what you're doing periodically is also good.
Kind of like the trust but verify type mentality. You know, you can automate it as long as you, you know, maintain it, keep your eye on the ball, see if it's still working for you. Is kind of
absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Now, spend selectively. I'm going to say this, and I put in my notes yard sailing. Now, the reason I did that is that one of our kids has a dog, and we call that dog our grand dog. So we have grandchildren, we have the grand dog, and the grand dog gets run of the place. So we wanted a doggy door for the grand dog, mm-hmm. so that the dog, you know, dog could get in and out when he wanted to. I checked those things out. They're like $150. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh. So we decided we would go yard sailing, and before we left, we prayed for a doggy door. Now, I know this is going to sound kind of dumb to some folks, but again, you know, it works. So it's hard to argue with what works. So we prayed that we would find a doggy door, which we did, and they wanted $15, and I offered them less, and we wound up getting it for $8. So a door that would normally cost $150 cost us $8. If you think, and if you just take a little time, there's a lot of things that you can do in your budget to really improve your spending situation. By the way, I hate the term budget. I like spending plan. So if I use budget, Amber, just correct me.
Yes, because we both like spending plans. I don't right. love budgets. I like to spend.
Oh, yeah, spending plan that just rolls off the lips.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so I think those are great ideas and great habits to get into. I mean, obviously, we want to be saving our money. And there's different ways you can save. Like, if we're talking about, which the article mentioned about moving things to a savings account, there's nothing wrong with that because you could build your emergency fund and it's quick access to money. But about the 8%, I'm sorry, I've never seen an 8% interest on a savings account. Now
I have not either, but that's up. That's very optimistic. But
yes. However, there are tools out there. There's all financial things out there that will pay a much higher interest rate than what you're going to get in a savings account. And I don't know if we want to talk about that now or later.
Well, we should, Amber, because one of the basic things when it comes to finances is having some money on hand in your checkbook to pay for regular expenses, obviously. And then also a buffer and emergency fund to pay for irregular expenses or just unexpected expenses. The Maytag breaks down. The Maytag is not supposed to break down, according to the old commercials from years ago. But periodically things happen, and it's good to have money on hand when that does occur. And the trade-off for liquidity is usually interest rates. So if you have money that's very liquid, usually you don't get 8% on it. But you might get 5% these days if you go into an online account. So it just pays to look around. And remember, liquidity is the important thing to be able to get at the money when you need it, when an emergency does arise, but also getting the highest interest rate that you can possibly get. I go to a site called bankrate.com.
Bank what?
Bankrate, BANKRATE.com.
Okay.
By the way, this is my Marlon Brando Godfather voice. So just make me repeat myself. But bankrate.com will show the highest rates available in the country for online banks.
Oh, wow.
So if you need to get, if you have more money in your buffered emergency fund, and by the way, I had a client one time, I asked him, how much money do you want to have available for buffered emergencies? And immediately out of his mouth popped the words, $100,000. Well, $100,000 is a pretty significant buffered emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody. But this is what he wanted. So in that kind of a situation, yeah, you want to go around and shop and get the highest rate that you can, because each 1% per year on $100,000 is going to be $1,000 of interest. So if you can get 5% instead of 4, that's another $1,000 a year. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market, and actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking to own some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend, so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
I'm Abe Hamadeh, and you're watching the Amber May Show.
Hey friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, Spike Support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So there's another article, and everyone's anticipating, what is the Federal Reserve going to do? And for everyone, people think the Federal Reserve is a branch of the federal government. No, it's a private bank that the president gets to appoint a board of directors, if I think that's the right term. The president gets to appoint individuals to look over this bank, this private funded bank that handles the American money supply. So, and they determine what the interest rate is across the country, and all the banks that participate with the Federal Reserve follows in compliance with what the Federal Reserve sets for interest rates. Now, inflation plays a big part of how the interest rate goes up or down. Can you explain a little bit about, because we're going to get into some stuff about inflation on the show, and the Federal Reserve plays a part in that. I'd love for you to educate my audience about inflation. What does it mean? How does that affect us? And how does the Federal Reserve affect interest rate or inflation?
Well, I think talking about the Federal Reserve might go beyond the scope of our program this morning, but let's say this, we have
high
a
level, high surface, high level, just so.
High level, we have an organization that is supposedly privately owned, but probably is politically influenced. We have an organization that runs the money in this country, and it's done with the idea that we're going to try to control inflation. We're going to try to stimulate the economy when the economy needs to be stimulated. We're going to try to rein in the horses when we're galloping down the trail with the Wells Fargo wagon, careening behind us. So, but that's the purpose of the Federal Reserve, and it's run by people. And any organization that is run by people, you and I both know, Amber, people make mistakes. People, they may have the best interest at heart, but they make mistakes. Stuff happens. There was that was put on a license plate a couple of years ago, but things happen. So, but inflation, we are probably going to have with us. I think we've always had it. We're going to have it in this country forever. I like to take people back to when I first started, when I first entered the workforce. I worked for a hamburger place. I won't tell you which one, but they had golden arches. And at that particular time, they were advertising how many millions of hamburgers they had sold on a daily basis. So I worked for 80 cents an hour and all I could eat. And within 2 weeks, because I was a teenager, the all I could eat portion of my compensation had been reined in significantly. So at that time, hamburgers were 15 cents each. Fries were a dime and a shake or a soda was 10 cents. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to that particular establishment today, and Mary and I do periodically, it's hard to get out of there for less than $20. And Mary and I share a burger. So Mary's my wife, by the way, in case you're wondering. So that's inflation. That's just the cost of things going up. Everybody wants to earn more money. A lot of us like to earn more money for doing the same job. And when that happens, well, if you increase the minimum wage to $20 an hour for fast food restaurants, which our neighboring state wants to do, you got to know that the price of the food is going to go up. Come on, folks, let's think here. Let's just be reasonable. When we raise wages, which everybody wants, unions are always crusading for more wages and more benefits. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to translate into higher priced automobiles or higher priced whatever it is. So it's just the human nature. So I don't try to fight it anymore. I just understand that it is there. And when we're doing financial planning, we just try to plan around it, let people know, hey, it's going to be there. So when you make your plans for your retirement, be thinking about that and make your plans accordingly.
Yeah. So let's get into the article that has to do with the Federal Reserve. And again, I think this is from the New York Post, and it says 6 smart money moves to make before the Fed cuts interest rates. So this is what a lot of real estate investors and real estate agents are excited about, because that will make more people want to get into the market to buy homes. But how does that affect the rest of us? So the Federal Reserve has pressed pause after hiking interest rates over the past few years. But while rates remain high for now, many experts predict the Fed will start cutting rates again later this year. So what about what money moves should we make to stay ahead of the game? Well, here are some 7 ways to set yourself up for financial success while rates are still high, but not likely for long. And so we'll see what our certified financial planner has to say about these 7 steps. So step number 1, lock in certificate of deposit, which is a CD. Sometimes putting your money into a basic savings account isn't enough, and we just talked about that. So a CD are deposit accounts with fixed interest rates over a set period of time for 3 months to 5 years. The upside of a CD is you lock in an interest rate for the entire term. The downside is squirreling your money away is often requires sacrificing liquidity. So that means you really can't get access to that money until that term is over, basically.
Let's address that one, Amber, real
if
quick.
If you need it, I mean, you can get to it, but there's, I think, penalties, isn't there, or something along that line? Go ahead.
Well, let's address that one. Lock in a certificate of deposit, which is really a great idea. There's also a kind of a neighboring financial deposit issued by or offered by insurance companies. They are called CD-type annuities. And the reason that they're called CD-type annuities is that it's an account similar to a CD where you lock up an interest rate for a period of time. That could be 5 years, that could be 10 years. The nice thing about those annuity accounts, in contrast to a CD, usually with a CD, you have no access to that money for the term. Mm-hmm. With a CD type annuity, most companies will give you some access to those funds. Usually it's 10% per year. In addition, the CD type annuities are tax deferred. You don't pay any taxes on the interest until you actually take the money and spend it. Now, if you buy these type of instruments before age 59 and a half, and you take your money out, when the interest comes out, it's subject to an extra tax. It's a premature distribution tax of 10% from the IRS. But here's what I've done over the years, Amber. I've actually calculated the interest rate difference in the CD type annuity. And oftentimes it's higher than the CDs. And then I've looked at the tax savings on a year-to-year basis. In other words, in the CD type annuity, you're going to get interest on your deposit, interest on your principal. You're going to get interest on your interest because it's compound interest. You're also going to get interest on the money that you would have paid in taxes, because with a CD, you're going to be paying taxes on that interest every year. With a CD type annuity, you can defer the interest and defer the taxes until you actually take the money out and spend it. So it's a great tool. Again, with any financial tool, you have to know what the positives are and what the negatives are. CDs are backed by the FDIC, of course. CD annuities are generally backed by the insurance company's financials, but there is also a state guarantee fund, which is not a state fund, but it's basically a mechanism that makes any insurance company that's doing business in any state put together money in a reserve so that if one of the companies that is doing business in that state goes down, gets into financial difficulties, the other companies will be in a position to financially step in and help that company out. So there's just some things that you can do. When interest rates are going down, generally buying bonds is a good idea because bond interest and bond values are like opposite ends of a teeter-totter. When interest rates go up, bond values go down. We saw that recently. When interest rates go down, bond values go up. So that's something that an adroit investor might be able to do. If you're going to do CDs, you might want to ladder them. In other words, laddering just simply means buy a 1-year CD, a 2-year CD, a 5-year CD, so that you can get at your money sooner if you need to, so that you don't defy the the need for liquidity. So there's some things you can do. My suggestion is talk to a good financial planner, someone that knows how these things work and that can give you some alternatives, but also let you know where the problem points might be. Again,
it's a good thing we know a great certified financial planner, and his name's Jim Tewalt. And I love that he comes on and provides wisdom to my audience and his clients. So everyone should reach out to him at iloveeps.com and make an appointment. He can do a Zoom call. He's not going to charge you on the first time you meet. It's really worth your time to meet with Jim at least one time, so that you guys could figure out, hey, do I need to go further with a financial planner? Am I doing pretty good? You guys could talk that out in your free appointment at iloveeps.com. So the step number two that they say, or six money habits, six money moves that we should make. Number two is open a high yield savings account. A savings account is a smart financial move regardless of interest environment. High yield savings accounts have high interest rates that can help you meet your goals faster. What's the difference, Jim, between a high yield savings account and a money market account?
Well, a true money market account is funded by short-term loans, bank loans. A savings account is going to be FDIC guaranteed. Sometimes banks will use money market accounts. They're basically like a savings account as well. So the key here, Amber, is if you have a high yield savings account, what is the interest rate guarantee going to be? If the Fed drops rates, are the rates going to drop in your account as well? Probably yes. So this is a great idea on paper, but from a practical standpoint, might not operate as anticipated.
Well, number three says pay down your credit cards. When interest rates are high, it's more expensive to borrow money. This is why credit card interest rates have increased in response to the Fed's rate hike. High interest debt can accumulate and make it challenging to meet your financial goals. So consider using the time to tackle your credit card debt too. Focus on paying off the cards with highest rates first while making the minimum payments on the other to avoid late fees. Number four says delay big purchases. If you're planning a major expenditure that requires financing, like buying a car, a boat, a home, consider pressing pause. If the Fed cuts rates in the future, the borrowing costs for mortgage or other loans may also drop. I would also say there's oftentimes you can refinance. For instance, if I buy a car today and the rates drop, there's so many credit unions out there that would be happy to refinance my car loan at a lower cost. So I would say, you know, for me, I'm not the certified financial planner, but just for me, I don't see why you would want to delay, because if you have the money, you could, in my mind, you can refinance. What do you think?
Well, I'm absolutely on board with that. You know, there's a couple of factors that come into play here. When we first moved to Arizona, we bought a house with an assumable loan. The loan rate was 9%.
Wow.
9%. Now, the value of the house was probably adjusted to account for, you know, what somebody could afford to pay in a monthly payment, and that's usually what happens. But if you get a chance to make a big purchase and you can do that at a reasonable cost or even a lower than average cost, if a good deal comes along, I would ignore the interest rates. In fact, what I hear my favorite loan officers say is, marry the house and date the interest rate.
That's it. That's what I hear too. Yep.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
if you enjoy a good cup of coffee, you might try Freedom First Coffee, and they use the unique roasting process from the Victorian era. And First Roasters, which brings back the forgotten art of coffee roasting. Using these roasters, we roast only the finest beans, and it's perforated drums over an open flame, which caramelizes and the sugars when the fire comes into contact with the beans. And while this is extremely tedious process, it creates the perfect coffee experience that cannot be duplicated. So pick up a bag today at freedomfirstcoffee.com. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And when you use promo code Amber, you're going to save money at checkout. So freedomfirstcoffee.com, use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hi, I'm Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code Amber at checkout. Join us, make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Amber. That's patriotmobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yep. So if you can get a good deal on a house, for example, or a good deal on a truck, because things are happening in the industry that just make the cost low, don't let the interest rate on the loan be the tail that wags the dog. You know, even a zero interest rate with a car company, you know, if they adjust the price of the vehicle to compensate for the zero interest rate, you're going to pay what you're going to pay anyhow. So, mm-hmm. So don't be fooled by the double talk. You have to really take a look at the deal and see if it is a good deal on something that you really want to own. And interest rates might be a factor, but they might not.
And this is all speculation. Nobody really knows yet what the Federal Reserve is going to do.
Right.
So people are speculating that the rates are going to fall. But what if rates don't fall? Maybe this is the lowest they're going to be for a while. And then they raise the rates, then it's like, okay, you know, it's one of those. I feel like if you buy now, there's possibility of refinancing for the lowest interest rates. But wouldn't it be awful if you waited and then the rates went up?
Well, let's think of it this way. We've got inflation. And we've got interest rates, and they can play against each other. So, excuse me, if the cost of the item that you want to buy is going up because of inflation or because of scarcity, we saw that with toilet paper back in COVID times, it became a very scarce and very expensive commodity, probably because people were hoarding it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why you would hoard toilet paper. And, again, if you just think of what's happening in the with whatever it is that you want to buy, if they're scarce, that means the price is going to go up. Mm-hmm. If you don't finance it, I guess if you're financing, it's different. But if you don't, it's not. The price of something could be lower because interest rates are higher.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. That's very true.
So you just have it. You know, there is these articles are great, but honestly, and this is for our listening audience, there just is no substitute for thinking.
Yeah, correct. Well, that's don't why I like having.
Don't be afraid to think. You know, don't listen. Don't read this stuff and just mindlessly suck it up. So.
We are a think zone. We want not a think free zone. No, we want you to think in this zone. So bring your brain cells and come think along with us. So, okay, we were talking about bonds, right? We were talking about bonds a few minutes ago. So, they're saying the fifth smart money move is buy an I bond. Series I savings bonds are a special type of low-risk government-backed security that pays interest tied to inflation. The bonds essentially provide built-in protection against rising prices. So you can purchase up to 10,000 worth of I bonds each year digitally at treasurydirect.gov. And when the high interest rates, I bonds are paying 5.27% for the first 6 months on those issued between November 1st, 2023 and April 30th, 2024. Interest rates on I bonds are variable and adjust every 6 months. Remember, you can't cash your I bond for the first 12 months. If you cash the bond before 5 years, you'll pay an early withdrawal penalty. Okay, talk about this I bond.
Well, again, it's like anything else. Excuse me. It's an option. So, but obviously, there are some gotchas in there in terms of liquidity. There's some gotchas in there in terms of interest rates. So you just look at what you're trying to accomplish, and select the best financial tool to do it. An I bond might be great. A CD type annuity might be even better. So again, talk to a good financial planner who actually understands this or will take the time to do the calculations. There's no substitute for thinking. There's no substitute for looking at the available options when you try or when you want to try to achieve a specific financial goal. So if your goal is to get a higher interest rate and hold on to it as long as possible, then my suggestion would be to take a look at the available options to you and see what their good points and what their bad points are, and select the option that just seems to make the most sense in your situation.
And number six, this is smart. You do this with your clients on a regular basis. Review your investment. So, if anyone wants to sit down for a free appointment with Jim T. Walt, you can go to iloveeps.com and set up that free appointment. It's like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you meet with him? It's not going to cost you anything. Meet with him. So, you may also want to review your overall investment portfolios. Bring your investment portfolios with you. I mean, he could look it over, give you the once over real quick. I mean, he's not going to go into depth at your first appointment, but it's going to be one of those things like you could bring your questions. You can say, this is my goal. He could give you some suggestions. And if it's a good fit, then you guys become clients and he becomes your advisor. You should ask yourself, according to this article from New York Post, has inflation caused my asset to drift from their target allocation? How have higher interest rates impacted my portfolio and borrowing? And should I allocate certain assets in my portfolio, mostly stocks to bonds or vice versa? What do you think about this?
Well, I think this is the best suggestion in the whole article thus far, in my opinion. Reviewing your investments always makes sense, and deciding what your strategy is going to be. If you're going to invest, most investors go into the market with the idea the market's going to go up and I'm going to make more money. I actually had a person come to me one time and said, I'm going to buy a house next year, and I want to put my money in the market so that I can buy a bigger house next year. And I said, well, that might work for you. You might buy a bigger house, or you might find yourself going over to the local sports store and buying a large tent if the market doesn't cooperate. So I like a strategy, and we've talked about this before, Amber. I like a strategy, an all-weather strategy that works whether the market is going up or down. I don't like the idea of a nest egg, building up a big nest egg, and then when you retire, nibbling at your nest egg carefully every year, hoping that when you're about to die on the last day of your life, there still is some egg left to nibble at. Guess it's kind of crazy, but. So I like an I the investing with the idea that we're going to invest for predictable streams of income. Hopefully, some of them are going to be income tax free, which even helps given the nature of taxes, and we're in a low tax environment right now. But historically, we'll move up. That's just the way it works. So if some of your income is tax-free in retirement, that's even better. But to have predictable streams of increasing income as a retirement savings or an investing goal makes perfect sense to me.
Yep. I would agree with you. And I like your income-based approach to investing. I think it's great. But this thing breaks my heart, Jim. Breitbart came out with an article, and there's one right by my house. I never thought I'd see a day where 99-cent stores, dollar stores would close. I never thought in my lifetime I would see that. But here Breitbart's sharing with us that 99-cent only stores are closing. All of them, all 371 of them are closing, citing inflammatory pressures. That means all the people that are on the lower income side isn't going to be able to purchase things that they normally could purchase for a dollar. All the people that work for these stores, which are multiple employees across 371 stores, are now losing their job. This is so sad to me. And so the article reads that all 371 locations of the 99-cent only stores are shutting down, with company executives blaming the difficult decision on such causes as inflationary pressures. The company, which opened its first location in 1982, boasts of having the lowest price guaranteed on its website. That claim is soon to be no more, with the operators announcing Thursday that liquidation sales will begin Friday. An official press release said an orderly wind down of its business operation is starting after entering a plea argument with Hilco Global to, among other things, liquidate all merchandise owned by the company and dispose of certain fixtures, furnishings, equipment to the company stores. So hundreds of stores will be selling all of their remaining items and equipment before the real estate itself is sold by Hilco Real Estate. So the company locations span across Arizona, California, Nevada, and Texas. This really upsets me, this story.
It is a sad thing. And I don't want to make light of it when I say this, but one of the advantages of being older than dirt is remembering that when I was a kid, they used to call them dime stores. Well, think of the shell shock that we've endured. The idea of selling things at a lower price is a great idea. There's a certain segment of the population that always wants to shop at those stores. I'm actually married to one of them.
I love the dollar store.
Yeah, I do too. Everybody likes a good deal. Inflation is the only reason that these stores are closing. That might be the reason that they're using. But usually, I would just, again, I don't want to minimize this, but the concept of selling at a reduced price is a good one. But maybe the idea of naming yourself a dollar store or a 99-cent store is not a good idea. Maybe it's better to pick a name that will be able to allow you to move with the times. I don't know if I could come up with one, but better than a yard sale.
Better than a yard sale. I like that. Better than a yard sale.
It's like I say, it's a shame for that to be happening. I'm not sure that inflation is the only reason that it is happening in their case, but it definitely
played a part in it, whether it's the only reason or not. For sure, we can know. Because the price of goods and services going up because there's so much money supply in the system, which makes our purchasing power less because there's just so much money supply in our economy right now. So if we were able to remove some of the money supply, that would make the value of our dollar go up, if I understand that correctly with economics.
Well, that part is actually true. Again, for the God follower, God is my source. He's pretty wealthy. In fact, he's got all the money in the universe. So I really don't worry about that type of thing. I'm concerned about it. I don't stick my head in the sand and ignore things. I'm not one of those. but I don't worry about it either. What I've seen over the time is that when things like this happen in the economy, it's always it's a shock to the people that are working in the stores mm-hmm. because they have to do something different at that mm-hmm. time.
Yep.
But what I have seen in the economy over the years is that when these things happen, it forces people to think differently. As an example, maybe not the best example in the world, but I've heard over in California where they have squatters in houses, there is a company that has started up over there called Squatter Hunters.
Oh.
We could really get in trouble talking about this one. But basically, you're hiring someone that out-squats the squatter, pushes their way into the house, takes the master bed, takes the nicest spot, the nicest couch in the family room, and just be basically as obnoxious until the squatter moves out. Now, these people come in, they sign a lease with the house owner, they barge into the house, or they wait for the squatter to come out, and they move in, and they actually make an income removing squatters from houses. This is capitalistic thinking.
That is, yes.
It is. So
I love our capitalistic model, and the powers that be are trying to take us from a capitalistic monetary policy to a communistic one. And that's where you and I have to stop and use our voice and say no, because our capitalistic style approach to growing our economy has worked for decades. And with that ingenuity comes, and with ingenuity comes prosperity. So I love capitalism, and I hope that our country will stay that way forever. There's one last article I want to share with you, Jim, and this also makes me upset and sad because all of us are feeling it. Every single one of us are feeling it. It's making it very hard for the average family to just provide meals. So people are cutting back at the restaurants because it's expensive. And even going to the grocery store is becoming very expensive, and people are really feeling it. So Breitbart News has an article that says, analysts, grocery prices nearing 40% higher than 2019. 40% higher than 2019. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Almost 5 years. Can you believe this? Okay, so the article says a $100 grocery haul in 2019 costs almost $140 today, nearly 40% more for the same common items, causing consumers to become creative to cope with crippling inflation. According to Wall Street Journal analysis, data on prices of everyday food such as meats, vegetables, starches, and snacks, Americans are facing a dramatic increase across all categories. Benjamin just isn't what it used to be, the journal Stephanie Stamm and Jesse Newman wrote, alongside graphs showing the average $100 grocery list now costs 36.5 more compared to 5 years ago. This means that in order to spend the same amount on food as they did in 2019, shoppers would have to place almost $37 worth of items back on the shelves before checking out. Some items have increased even more dramatically, such as eggs at 63%, sports drinks, which are up 80%. Prices increased by 1% from February 23 to February 24, and the most dramatic jump took place from 2022 to 2023, with a whopping 10% surge. Oh, Jim, how do we deal with this inflation thing? What do we do about, is there anything we can do about this inflation? How do I make my dollars have spending power? How do we do this? Is there a solution?
Well, there's always a solution, and it involves that five-letter word that most people don't want to hear, T-H-I-N-K, which is think. And I did a little looking after I read the article, and here's a couple of things I came up with. And first of all, my favorite peanut butter has gone up 77%. Mm. That is tragic. Mm-hmm. And that's the sale price. If I get it on sale, it's still up 77% over that 2019 prices. But I'm addicted, so when it goes on sale, I just buy it. I stock up. Mm-hmm. My kids will tell you that if they look in the pantry, Dad's got his peanut butter in there. So, but here's some things you can do. Cheese, as an example, I'm a cheesehead from Wisconsin. Cheese in blocks runs about $2 to $2.50 a pound for the store brand to about $5 a pound for the name brand. And the only difference between the name brand and the store brand is probably nothing.
Nothing. I was waiting for something. You're like, probably nothing.
So here's the thing. If you buy grated cheese, like for your pizzas, your homemade pizzas and so forth, you're going to be paying between $4 and $10 a pound. So here's the tip. Buy a cheese grater, grate it yourself. It'll stay fresher. You won't be throwing out the old cruddy stuff that you buy. You know, you buy the big block thinking you're going to save money. I know what happens in our refrigerator. After a while, green mold starts to grow on this stuff and nobody wants to eat it. I just cut the mold off. I eat the cheese. I don't know. Probably dumber than a box of rocks, but that's what I do. So just begin to think about this now. Keep breakfast cheap. Avoid pricey cereals. Man, cereals. I can remember when my kids were small, we did not buy the pricey cereals. We bought the stuff that came in a bag. And, I used to hear a lot of complaints about that. But then I went to their houses after they grew up. And the first thing I would do is I would look in their pantry and I would find a bag of cereal. And I would take I took no prisoners. I just said, hey, what's this cheap, crappy cereal doing in your pantry? Mm-hmm. I thought when you moved out, you were going to buy the expensive stuff. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I didn't. But so, again, you got to think. If you buy the store-bought brand of Raisin Bran or Corn Flakes, I have a pretty discerning palate, but I can't tell the difference between the expensive stuff and the cheap stuff. So, just some things you can do. You can meal plan. One of my kids is really good at this. They do all their planning for the week on Sunday. They make all their meals, they freeze them, and then they take them out during the week and they have the meals prepared. Now, they have four kids, so this is just and three of them teenagers. So, you know what that's like. Your refrigerator it's hard to keep food in there when you have that many teenagers. So you can meal plan. There's just a lot of things that you can do. You can buy from the co-op stores. You can buy more in bulk. I've looked at, I remember one time butter was on sale at my favorite grocery store for $1 a pound. My wife got very upset with me because I bought 30 pounds. But hey, this stuff keeps in the freezer. So I put it in the freezer. And I think half a year later, we wound up eating the rest of it, probably during baking season. But when stuff goes on sale, load up. Again, you don't want to load up and then have it get moldy on you. But so you just have to kind of think about what you're doing. But when these prices go up, these kinds of articles, they sell newsprint. They scare people half to death. But we still live in a free society where we have options. And so what we tell our clients is think, look around, see different ways of doing things, find ways that make sense.
I want to thank you so much for spending time with us and going through these articles and giving your input and your wisdom into it. And if anyone wants to reach you, I highly recommend setting up a free appointment with you at iloveeps.com. The contact information's right there on the website, iloveeps.com. And then you can meet with Jim and figure out, hey, what are some great strategies that are going to help you build your wealth, provide a great income in retirement, and maybe mitigate some of the tax burden that's on all of us. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for joining us today.
Thank you, Amber. Thanks for putting up with my godfather voice today. It's always great to talk with you. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show. EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.